Welcome to Business Beyond the Mic, where we join Carly Van Heerden, CEO and founder of We Edit Podcasts, and her guests as they step behind the mic and deep dive into the business of podcasting. What does it look like to create, launch, and sustain a successful show? How do you find the right guests? And how to successfully build and monetize a podcasting brand? They're uncovering how others got started, unpacking the challenges they faced along the way, the strategies they used, and discovering just how they did it. So you can too. This is Business Beyond the Mic. Together, let's uncover the art of podcasting.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Business Beyond the Mic. I'm your host, Carly Van Heerden. Today on the show, we welcome Dots Oyebulu. Dots is a seasoned podcast marketer and marketing strategist that has mastered various facets of D2C and B2B industries, from conversion generation to marketing intelligence. He is not just a strategist, he is a connector of dots, a title earned for his ability to see the bigger picture. His impact speaks volumes. At Content Allies, he drives cutting-edge podcast marketing strategies, and he is changing the game with Listen Network, one of the fastest-growing podcast ad tech companies in the market. Beyond his role at Listen Network and Content Allies, Dots is steering projects like Dots Loves Marketing, where he hosts the Marketing Leadership Podcast and writes on PhD-level marketing strategy. During our conversation, Dot shares more about his podcasting journey to nearly 300 episodes, and he shares some of his dreams for his future podcasting career. Of course, because he is the guru of marketing, we get into the best tips and strategies for marketing your podcast, and he challenges us to actually get out there and promote. This is such an insightful conversation. So without further ado, here's Dots. Dots, welcome to Business Beyond the Mic. It is so great to have you on the show today.
Absolutely, Carly. Thank you so much. It's great to have these kinds of experiences. I mostly spend my time as a host, but now happy to be a guest on your show.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's amazing to have your perspective on the show as expert marketer of all things podcast. And I just thought, why don't you connect the dots and tell us a bit more about yourself, your business, your brand, and of course, your podcast.
So I've been in marketing. This will be my 14th year in the marketing space. I've dabbled into all kinds of things. I spent roughly half of that on the client side back home in my home country, Nigeria, and then moved to Canada about 5 years ago, where before then until now, I've been in the agency space, had a marketing shop of my own, but now work with two agencies. Now I sit, you know, in the intersection of podcast marketing and marketing strategy. Of course, I've always loved to be a marketer, you know, long story on, you know, when your parents want you to do something and you want to do something else and you're just walking this lonely road and they're like, we hope you succeed. And, you know, it was Mother's Day a few days ago and I was like, I hope I've made you proud, Mom. You wanted me to be a doctor. So anyway, but yeah, it's been quite a ride. I do work currently for Content Allies, a podcast strategy and production agency. I'm also a co-founder of Listen Network, a podcast marketing agency. So yeah. And the podcast, yeah, the Marketing Leadership Podcast, we've been running it for not so long now, but yeah, there's quite a bit of story behind it. Hopefully we can explore that here.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we should dive right into that. What inspired you to launch the podcast after all these years in marketing?
I'll get straight to what happened. I wanted to get an MBA. You know, you've been, whenever you do 10 years plus in a specific niche, they say it's time to get an MBA. So all I have is a BSc. Thankfully, I managed to finish that back home in Nigeria. And my boss said, MBA is good, but you might want to look at a better route. And so he suggested a few things like masterminds and things like that that are much better. But he said, ultimately, I have a crazy idea. Why not start a podcast? I'm like, okay, we'll see how it goes. I've got a bit of the raw material, a big talker. Most of us are big talkers, Nigerians. And I know a lot about marketing. I've been rolling my sleeves, still roll my sleeves, even though I'm operating at a director level right now. So I thought, yeah, why not? If not. And it was an opportunity for me to get guests that already have better experience, or let me use the word notoriety, more than myself and speak to them. So, and that was how we started, you know, and it's just been an incredible journey since then. I've been really, really fortunate to speak to guests. Of course, full disclosure, I will be speaking to you as well on my podcast. So it's just been awesome. I think I exceeded my boss's expectations already.
Oh, yeah. You get an MBA and more when you interview all these experts on marketing.
Exactly.
Boots on the ground learning from the get-go, which is incredible. Did you have any type of fears or things before you launched? If you're a student at heart and now all of a sudden you have to be the master of podcasting, what were the things that you were thinking about before launching?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. I definitely had no issues in terms of how to like learn from my mistakes with the podcast. You know, I write my own QBRs, which is very funny as well. But what I had issues with was I wanted to have this podcast as a means to interview my childhood at the beginning, to interview my childhood marketing heroes, those whose articles, videos supported me when everybody was saying, what is this thing called marketing, right? Especially in Nigeria, a developing country where, with all due respect, everything is like 5 years backwards. So how did I even overcome that? You know, we were doing some outreaches, we're getting a few people here, and I thought, why not just ask, you know, top people? And I think the very early guest that came on that really gave me some confidence was Rand Fishkin and Pam Dinia. So Pam Dinia is like the queen of account-based marketing, sales enablement. So when I got those two, I'm like, yeah, I think I can do this. So in my outreach, I would always include their names in there, and with more guests, I always include the names. I did a lot of backdoor guests picking as well. You know, reach out to people via email, reach out to people via LinkedIn, ask a friend of a friend to make an intro. You know, I got an intro for Larry Kim. Larry Kim used to own WorldStream. That was a backdoor invite. Neil Patel was a backdoor invite. You know, I had an advisor who was his co-founder at the agency, and I asked him to make an introduction, and that was it. So the biggest lesson is just ask and try to do everything. Make sure it's all world-class so that people know what they are getting into. There will be a lot of no's because mostly people want to be on a podcast that is like a diary of a CEO, you know, a million downloads an episode and things like that. I am not there yet, but I was able to prove a lot through my content and the previous guests that I've got. So that's how I got the guests.
Yeah, it goes to show that you are such a good connector and you are using every avenue that you have available to find these amazing guests and to dig into the value that they can provide to your audience. Because that's the thing. If you are setting out to do something as big as a podcast about marketing, where are you going to ask? It's going to be those experts. It's going to be somebody who's going to give you the clout and help your audience trust you when you are providing them with this information, which is incredible. And it helps you obviously build that way to your target audience, helps you resonate, helps you build up that content bank. And you said you are over 200 episodes in now. How did you manage to get to this incredible feat of doing that? And how have you structured your episodes going forward? And what's the plan that you have behind that right now?
I just got obsessed at some point. And we were recording 10 episodes a week or something like that. We have 40 of those out already. So that's roughly 170 episodes. I think we are on track to hit 300. And, you know, maybe I will be done, but we'll speak about that later. But yeah, it's basically leveraging on the systemized approach with Content Allies. They've got a guest scheduling team working with a third-party agency as well. So we have all those things wired in. All I was just doing was looking for the guests that I want based on different kinds of criteria. I wanted to go global as well. So I've sort of interviewed guests from basically every continent, except from Antarctica at this point. So, you know, I had different criteria on the kind of coverage that I want that other marketing podcasts were not doing. Different content angles as well, like audio marketing. Nobody talks about that. Marketing and procurement. Nobody talks about that. So being able to explore all this is what gave rise to that number. But it's just leveraging on the systemized or systematized way through which my sponsor Content Allies, you know, uses. And that's how we really got it off the ground. I will not say they have not come with challenges, a few logistical hiccups here and there, you know, no shows, which is sometimes very annoying. But I just think it's just part of it. It's just part of growth pains. So yeah, that I would say overall, that was how I got there.
Yeah. And with these incredible goals that you had, you know, going global, making an impact, doing things differently, what would you say to our listeners today, if it comes down to your podcast marketing strategy, since you are the expert on all this, where should they be putting the focus to see the best returns for their podcast?
So first of all, you need to, when starting a podcast, you need to have some sort of a strategy and a roadmap for where you want to go. For me, it was using podcasting as an account-based tool to reach out to other partners for the businesses that I serve in, building a network of marketers. You know, imagine being able to email you or chat you, or, you know, that was something I never thought was possible, you know, growing up in a village in Nigeria. Being able to grow my profile as a marketing expert myself, so podcast marketing expert, marketing strategy expert. So that helped. Ross Simmons, we had him on the podcast. He just released a book on content repurposing a few days ago. And podcasting gives you that avenue to be able to do that. You can repurpose your content into different segments as well. If I am right, I think you guys also have worked on a material around content repurposing.
Yeah.
So because we do a bit of stalking. So repurposing your using your podcast as a content repurposing engine also helps in a lot of ways. What I would say the biggest for me is the account-based marketing aspect of it. You have your guests as accounts that you could use for anything that you want to. Marketing podcast is a bit broad, is a bit flexible, but you might be listening or watching today and you may be looking at a specific podcast. Maybe it's about fulfillment or it's about open access in education and things like that. You need to first set up the goal. You need to set up the maturity model. Where do you want to be with this podcast? And then everything else will follow in terms of the guests you want, the downloads you want, and some of the other direct metrics to the podcast. So yeah, but there's nothing as fun as repurposing. We repurpose into social media posts, we repurpose into articles, we repurpose into all kinds of things. And we do leverage groups. Many people don't do that. So I post my podcast in social media groups on X and LinkedIn. And I'm looking into Facebook as well. Those groups are dedicated to your topic. So if you share that episode there, it is not salesy. So you may not get banned. And people will still follow your podcast and hopefully subscribe. So those are some of the creative ways I've used to promote my own podcast. And, you know, we've sort of used my podcast as the guinea pig for some of our other podcasters, content allies, to improve processes.
Yeah. No, and I can totally relate to that because we've been doing it with mine as well. And, you know, even being able to connect with some of my clients and being able to connect with podcasters on the same journey, it's been a great case study when you put it that way. And that social proof that people want to see and that relatability of it. So yeah, that's a great. And
may I just add promotion as well. Promoting your podcast is key. So I work for a company called Listen Network that does promotion of podcast episodes. So I do use some of that as well. I know a lot of people like to show, I built 1 million followers without ads, without anything. All power to you if that's your case. But I believe that if you have good content, there's no crime in you promoting that. So I do promote some of my content as well through listennetwork.co.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. And I think on the topic of metrics, what would you say is a metric that you specifically focus on to see that, okay, this guest is the right one for me. This is the content that I should be putting out, or I've effectively marketed this episode. What kind of metrics are you looking at?
With the guest, we just unpick them. You know, we are following their content. We are making sure they fall into whatever category of definition that we want. So that's a bit nuanced. From a content perspective, you know, you may have heard this before, but consumption rate seems to be the model of market podcasting KPIs these days. Mm-hmm. How do you get it? You know, some people will boast of 95% consumption rates. I would say, just to be realistic, if you get above 50, then you're on the right track. And if you go higher, then good for you. But you want your podcast to have the best consumption rate possible. And it's a mixture of different things. It's a mixture of the amount of time to record the podcast. So we often record based on the drive, a typical drive time to the office, which is like 20 to 30 minutes, let's say 25 minutes on average. It could be shorter than that, but also the content has to be great. The content has to be edutaining, you know? So if it's something that is boring, people will most likely drop off. So yeah, consumption rate seems to be the one. One that we've also been exploring is the amount of followers or subscribers. So again, like I said, I leveraged Listen Network a few times and I'm working on, they've got Spotify and YouTube subscriber or follower products that allows you to get followers on demand. Then you can feed them with your content organically. So again, some people may not be okay with that idea. You know, they want to be able to go on the big Guinness World Record to say they built everything with less resources. But I have something else that I can bank on or be proud of. And I'm sure you might be asking a few of that later, which I think is okay to allow me run promotions to, you know, build audience growth on my podcast. And then once you build those audiences, they never miss a future episode and the consumption rate gets better with better content.
No, absolutely. And part of your guinea pig situation with your podcast, are you monetizing or do you have a strategy in place for that to try out?
I am not monetizing, but I may be able to speak to that a little bit. I don't know if I have plans to monetize personally or maybe sell a course or whatever it is like that. For those who are thinking about that, we've seen that you need to first grow your podcast. Like you need to have a lot of followers, you need to have a lot of downloads or listens, you need to get it to the top, you know, top 10 or whatever it is in your niche, award-winning level. And sometimes you may need to promote your way to get to that because podcasting is getting very tight. Maybe 4.5 million podcasts, but it seems like there's a podcast everywhere you turn these days. So promoting your way to growing everything about the podcast and then have people come in there to reinvest back into it as sponsors is something that I think you know one might be able to explore in there. But personally, yeah, I'm only just using it as a means to, you know, we've got a few sponsor plugs for Listen Network and Content Allies, but besides that, that's just it.
Well, it's been so interesting to hear your perspective on these things, but I thought we'd have a little bit of fun in the end. And I know you do these rapid fire questions too, so I thought we can do it on mine now. So let's just jump right into these quick fire questions and whatever pops to mind, just answer to that. So okay, the first
don't
one.
Overthink it. No problem.
Yeah. First one is, how has podcasting changed the way you do business or life?
There's a lot of confidence for me as an entrepreneur, and it's also improved my communication skills. So if you're watching, I got this book on writing well, got another one here as well. I've got a couple of books on communication. Most Nigerians in outside Nigeria are well learned, you know, they're like master's degrees holder. But aside from that, there's also the ability to communicate in a concise manner, communicate in a clear manner. And I have to do a lot of learning about that. You know, my boss said, if you can crack this, then you are the ultimate marketing leader. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, sir. So having to do a podcast and manage the host's time, like you've just done right now, which is impressive, and be able to respond well and have that constructive back and forth is something that it's very, very good benefit for me.
Oh, amazing. And so, on the second one, what is a non-negotiable or a top tool for your podcast that you use?
The recording setup has to be great. I love what you are doing right now. The mic has to be great. If you're watching, I used to use this mic. It's like a beginner's mic, you know, blue.
It's like a relic.
Podcaster, yeah. But now I'm on the next level with the Rode. So just have a good basic setup. I've got some good camera as well. The room doesn't matter. I'm recording from my kid's bedroom at the moment. So, but yeah, you need to have all these basic things in place. It's just very, very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And now through all the years, what have been the biggest lessons or podcast fails that you've had along the way?
I think my biggest one would be that I have not really had any luck with CMOs. Most of my guests were marketing leaders. Yeah, podcasting leaders to work on the agency side, but not CMOs. So I've been able to get a few like directors, senior directors, but CMOs, no. And that makes sense because I'm not big enough. Let me just be truthful about it. We see, some of the CMOs I'm trying to get, I see them on other podcasts that are way more popular, or maybe they push the back door a little harder than I did. But that would be my biggest regret. But not really a regret, because we found some successes with directors, senior directors, VPs that will one day be CMOs. So that's still good.
And obviously, keep in mind, when it's smaller businesses, sometimes the CEO and the COO and all of them, they're also the CMO. So yeah, it's all one roll into one. But well, that's a good goal to have. Keep on that one. I think you're going to do it. I mean, I feel like whatever you put your mind to, you've been doing. So
Yes.
I will watch this space.
People love the momentum as well. So yeah, we've made a lot of progress. So people love that.
Absolutely. And now for the last one, if money or time were not a factor, what would be next for your podcast?
Well, I would say personally, I think once we hit episode 300, the goal has been done. My goal will probably to try some other podcasts. So I've got three passions in my life that I would like to be remembered for: marketing, history, and music. So I hope to explore those two subjects. If I were to continue in the podcasting world, maybe do like another 300 episodes of each and then find another passion. But yeah, I think by around episode 300, I think I've basically interviewed marketers at so many levels.
Yeah.
So I am incredibly grateful for that opportunity. I think I have run the race once I get to episode 300.
Well, it's been incredible to hear your story and yeah, just dig into what you've been able to achieve in this time and just see your absolute ambition and just running out the races to do this. So Dodds, thank you so much for sharing with everybody. And it's been just incredible to have you on the show.
Absolutely. No worries. It's an honor to be here. Great setup as well. So great work. And I hope it's been helpful.
Yeah, amazing. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Business Beyond the Mic with your host, Carly Van Heerden. We love having you join us on this journey of uncovering the art of podcasting. If you found value in today's episode, we'd love to hear from you. Leave us a rating or review and let us know what resonated with you or what didn't. Your feedback really helps us make this podcast the best that it can be. And be sure to connect with us across all our social platforms. Join us again next time as we step behind the mic with another amazing guest and dig even deeper to uncover the art of podcasting. Until then, see you next time. This is a We Edit podcast production.